You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 4th, 2022. Still no word on who leaked Justice Samuel Alito's draft opinion on Roe v. Wade, suggesting it's time for it to be overturned, that it's been egregiously wrong from the beginning. We're going to get into that in more detail in the next segment. Especially you want to hear Senator Elizabeth Warren go ballistic that they might overturn Roe v. Wade. I'm looking at a piece by Nolte for the Breitbart, said the Democrats had 50 years to pass abortion legislation, and they didn't. They relied on that 1973 Roe v. Wade to just be the law. And court reaffirming it under Casey and a couple other cases. But now it looks like it could be overturned. Now, there again is no word on who leaked it and what will be the punishment. Do they know? It's possible. But in the midst of all this, President Biden today, reacting to that leaked draft opinion, said all this controversy is a lot more than just abortion. And he warned that, quote, the MAGA crowd, MAGA, Make America Great Again crowd, Trump crowd, is the most, and I'm quoting, the most extreme political organization that's existed in recent American history. Now, riddle me this. How many fires, arsons, attacks on police, threats, burning communities, businesses, looting, has the MAGA crowd carried out compared to Antifa, BLM? And what about last night, just in L.A.? Demonstrators show up at the federal courthouse protesting that Roe v. Wade might be overturned, and it turns violent, attacking police. I will guarantee you, no MAGA, as identified by Biden, was involved in attacking police at that point. President Trump, by the way, touting victories for nearly two dozen candidates he endorsed who won primary races in Ohio and Indiana last night. He said it was really a great night for Republicans. I was 22-0. I won every race. Yes, he did. And one of the biggest, J.D. Vance, a venture capitalist who got Trump's endorsement less than 3 weeks ago when he was trailing. He carried him right over the top, 32% out of a five-candidate race. A legal group is calling for an investigation into a Missouri school board claiming the schools violated state and federal law in the process of collecting information from students without parental consent. It appears that based on the court case, the Webster Grove District, the Southern Legal Foundation saying we've had parents in Webster Grove come to us, say they did not give their consent, as their students were asked about their mental health, political beliefs, sexual identity, without their parents' permission. They're not going to ask for permission if they can get around it. They're never going to ask because they know the answer is no, and then hell no. You don't ask those questions to my kid unless I'm involved in it. Federal Reserve, as you heard on the news a moment ago, has raised a benchmark interest rate half a point for the first time in 20 years, trying to cool down our red-hot inflation. A Missourian who killed a couple during a robbery in 1996, had his death sentence overturned three different times, ran out of time last night. The 56-year-old who committed these killings when he was in his 30s, executed by lethal injection at the state prison in Bon Terre. We're going to get into that in more detail later in this hour. J. John Paul Mac Isaac, the Delaware computer repairman who had the Hunter Biden laptop, is now suing Democrat Schiff, Daily Beast, Politico, and others, CNN, so forth, for accusing him of distributing Russian misinformation. Good for him. And he should win because now they all admit, yeah, the laptop was real. And the Satanic Temple is requesting a right to fly a flag over the Boston City Hall because the Supreme Court ruled the city violated free speech of a conservative group that wanted a Christian flag over the government building. They change the flag on a daily basis. A Christian group denied. Court says you can't do that. So now the Satanic Temple says, we want our flag up there one day too. It'll happen.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Make no mistake, the blame for this decision falls squarely on Republican senators and the Senate Republicans as a whole, who spent years pushing extremist judges, spent years confirming three far-right justices to the Supreme Court, but who claimed somehow this day would never come. But this day has come. And we will fight it all the way.
Yes, yes, they will. That is Senator Chuck Schumer on the floor of the Senate saying you need to blame conservatives for the possibility that Roe v. Wade might be overturned. All that, of course, based off the leaked draft of Justice Alito saying it's time to overturn it and be done with it. And, of course, you're going to blame the conservatives. Nobody's going to blame extremists. Well, wait a minute. Wait. They will blame extremists if they're on the left. For instance, I want you to hear Senator Elizabeth Warren when she learned what might be happening behind the chambers in the Supreme Court by that draft. This woman went absolutely over the edge.
This is what the Republicans have been working toward this day for decades. They have been out there plotting, carefully cultivating these Supreme Court justices so they could have a majority on the bench who would accomplish something that the majority of Americans do not want. 69% of people across this country, red states and blue states, old people and young people, want Roe versus Wade to maintain as the law of the land. We need to do that. And we have a right. Extremists, we've heard enough from the extremists.
We have a right. Boy, did she go over the top. She said in 60%+ of all ages, men and women. I don't know why she makes a distinction between men and women. I thought we're all supposed to be the same nowadays. And she says we're tired of extremists. I'm asking, which extremists are you tired of? If you want to talk about extremists, we're talking about extremists who want to preach transgender ideology to 2- and 4-year-olds. They want to teach critical race theory that if you're one color, you're better or worse than the other. They want to teach that police are someone to be feared. I got a story here in front of me that is a perfect example of a... Where is this thing? I've got so many of these things. This is a transgender activist recently suggesting during a virtual lecture at the University of South Florida. He's talking on a Florida campus, okay? It's a Florida college campus, a university, but says it is good for children to be introduced to the transgender community at a very young age. There's your extremism. Those of you watching on rumble.com as we're streaming live, you know what I did. For those of you not listening, I just hit the mic because I was so angry it tore up the paper and jumbled it up. But we are streaming live at rumble.com, Larry Connors USA, one word. Take you right in here and you can watch us in studio. But there's your extremist. The fact that some folks say, and just either by their own religion or their own decision, they're against killing an unborn baby at any cost or whatever level you want to put on it, restriction. I've got some various polls I'll bring up in just a moment, but let's go back to the fact that right now Warren wants to blame extremists, and Chuck Schumer said you got to blame conservatives, and he also said that includes some of those justices on the bench now because they lied during their confirmation.
The Republican-appointed justices' reported votes to overturn Roe v. Wade will go down as an abomination, one of the worst, most damaging decisions in modern history. Several of these conservative justices, who are in no way accountable to the American people, have lied to the U.S. Senate, ripped up the Constitution, and defiled both precedent and the Supreme Court's reputation.
Now, that assumes, of course, that no liberal justice has ever lied during the confirmation or said one thing and then when they became a justice went another direction. There were many Republicans, of course, conservatives, that claimed that Justice Roberts, he faked that he was a conservative and it became apparent he wasn't with the Obamacare decision. That incensed a lot of conservatives. Speaking back again to Senator Warren claiming all these polls showing that most people want abortion, I want to refer to a poll here. Now, the reason I take this one is a Fox News poll, but it was created with a Democrat pollster, Chris Anderson, his company, Beacon Research, doing it with a Republican pollster, Darren Shaw. So they should be check balancing and making sure everything's correct. They found that while more than 6 in 10 registered voters continue to believe the court should uphold Roe v. Wade, there's your 60%, 6 in 10, they also find more than half favoring abortions after 15 weeks. In other words, 15 weeks pregnancy needs to go back to the states. To that extent, that's what the Mississippi law is. It's in front of the court that they argued recently that they're getting ready to issue a ruling on. The Democrat pollster said if Roe v. Wade is overturned, it's going to be a hand grenade in the middle of an already chaotic political environment. That I agree. Now, some voters were asked how they felt about a similar ban if it were in their state, that if a law were passed in their state at 15 week, you cannot have an abortion. Just over half favored it, 54%. So not everyone's in favor of abortion just willy-nilly, to use that phrase. And 41% are opposed to it. Voters also asked how they felt about a similar ban with a medical exception on abortion after only 6 weeks. That's the new standard in Texas. Voters split on this policy. 50% favor 46% opposed. The nine-week difference between the Mississippi and Texas law appears very important to some voters. Key groups like independents, 9% of them favored it. Suburban women, 10% favored an abortion law that would be restricted to 15 weeks versus 6 weeks. Mothers, that's not men with wombs, that's females, 11% more likely support a 15-week ban over a 1 year, or rather a 6 week ban. You break it out on racial, you look at Hispanic voters, those Hispanic voters, majority of them favor a shorter term for an abortion. Go with the Texas law. Those who worship regularly, less likely to also endorse that kind of action. And when you look at the overall sentiments, the survey found out that on average, the surveys have remained pretty steady. But a new poll finds 27% think Roe v. Wade should be overturned. And there are differences in the sense that should they all be illegal or should some of them be restricted to trimester or some nature or circumstances involving rape, incest to save the mother's life. It's not all just clearly set in concrete for many. And for any woman getting an abortion, seriously, if they are serious about it, it should be a heavy weighted decision. It shouldn't be just decide, oh, I'm going to go today and get my nails done. I might get an abortion while I'm in it. Before that, I may go by and pick up that shirt I saw on sale. That sounds callous. Unfortunately, there are some women that might be just that way. I believe, I like to think anyway, that most of them tearfully consider what they're doing. And some make that decision to go ahead and then later regret it. Some make it and live with it and then live with regrets, and then some do it and they do go about their way. And we're hearing now a woman's right, her body, her rights. Well, I thought women had ceased to exist since we started saying transgenders were just as equal as women. And you got an incoming Supreme Court justice. It was not part of this decision, by the way. You got to keep that in mind. Who could not even define what a woman was. How's she going to handle a case like this? When you look at overall concern over abortion policy and you put it up with 14 issues, according to this survey, it comes in at number 11 out of 14 issues. Trump voters, seniors, very conservative voters, all at plus 9 about concern about abortion. Blacks and Hispanics at plus 9. Catholics at plus 8. Some likely show increased concern about abortion if it gets into that arena. I know it's hard to follow these numbers as I'm citing them, and I apologize to that extent. I just want to make sure I put them in front of you, and I hope you do take time to look at some of these surveys directly. But then this unauthorized leak from the Supreme Court. Never happened before in history. Never. Senator Cruz says there was a clear intent on whoever decided to steal that opinion from Alito, the draft opinion, and make sure it got splashed across the headlines by giving it to a political reporter. And, of course, the bomb went off.
The decision of an immoral and unethical individual to leak the court's confidential working documents is the predictable consequence of a multi-year effort by Senate Democrats to politicize and undermine the court. Senate Democrats have systematically tried to turn the court into a mini legislature where five unelected lawyers wearing judges decrees the rules for the country.
Now, Cruz will say five justices who are not elected decree rules for the country because, in his view, they would be rewriting the Constitution, not sticking to the Constitution. The liberal side would say, yeah, you got justices on there that, as you heard from Senator Schumer earlier, that they're appointed for life and they lied to us during the confirmation and they're making law. No, they're looking at the Constitution. In the Constitution, abortion, the word itself, does not appear. It is not a guaranteed right. That's the bottom line. They shoveled it under the 14th Amendment, a right to privacy. But Cruz says the very fact that this thing was released and snuck out of the court, that's damning.
When I saw that news, I was truly flabbergasted. It is impossible to overstate the gravity of the violation. The ethical violation, very potentially the legal violation, the wound to the independence of the court and to the integrity of the court may well be a wound from which the court never fully recovers.
That may well be. One of my listeners, a loyal listener, Diane, wrote in and said, I sat and read the entire 98-page opinion. Very well written, looked at the Constitution, did a good job, should go back to the states. Let's pray this holds. Diane said, I was not surprised how fast Schumer and the left jumped on this for more fundraising, call to end the filibuster, more disinformation. The left is screaming it will ban all abortions when sadly it was just going to send it back to the states. Thanks, Diane, for the letter, and thanks for the added remark. Keep up the good programming. I certainly will try, my dear. Try to give you the best program every day, every day. Coming up next, I want to talk about Biden and his pre-stand on abortion and Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, not 100% in favor of Roe v. Wade.
Roe v. Wade was an easy case, and the Supreme Court could have held that most extreme law unconstitutional and put down its pen. Instead, the court wrote an opinion that made every abortion restriction in the country illegal in one fell swoop. And that was not the way that the court ordinarily operates. You know, it waits till the next case and the next case. Anyway, it was that some women felt that I should have been 100% in favor of Roe v. Wade, and because I wasn't.
And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in an interview she did July 2020, just months before she passed in September of that same year, she was not 100% in favor of Roe v. Wade. Now, she was not on the court when it was decided in 73. She was appointed to the court, nominated by Bill Clinton, and originally he was not going to do it. He said women don't want her because she's not 100% pro-abortion, because she'd already made it clear that she thought Roe v. Wade exceeded what the court should have done. And that interview, again, given in 2020, just months before her passing, she had the same basis. She was quoted by Justice Alito in this leaked draft that came out. He talking about how she had argued after striking down the Texas law that got challenged in Roe, making abortion illegal in the state of Texas, except for if a physician ruled the pregnancy threatened the mother's life, Ginsburg had said, and it quoted again in a New York law lecture, a less encompassing role, one that merely struck down the extreme Texas law and went no further on that day, I believe it will summarize why it might have served to reduce rather than fuel the controversy. She thought the court should have done what it normally does, is wait on the next case and the next case and the next case and do it in an incremental basis. But again, Alito citing her in this 98-page draft on page 64, that Roe agreed that Ginsburg, I should say, Roe agreed that Roe inflamed a national issue that's remained bitterly divisive for the past half century. And she added, for the past 30 years, Casey has done the same thing. That's what Alito is presenting in his draft, and quoting Ginsburg in several cases. Well, of course, folks do change and make some difference of opinion. For instance, here's what Biden had to say the other day as word came out about the leaked draft and that the court was going to overturn Roe v. Wade.
The idea that concerns me a great deal that we're going to, after 50 years, decide a woman does not have a right to choose. The idea we're letting the states make those decisions, localities make those decisions, would be a fundamental shift in what we've done. So it goes far beyond, in my view, if it becomes a law and if what is written is what remains. It goes far beyond the concern of whether or not there is the right to choose. It goes to other basic rights, the right to marry, the right to determine a whole range of things.
Well, Alito in his draft made it clear, no, it only applies to this case of abortion. But he's expressing that Biden was expressing the same thing Ruth Bader Ginsburg did when she said the court went too far with Roe v. Wade. But then you also look back on how Biden had been in March of 2006, making his staunch Catholicism his basis for this statement.
I do not view abortion as a choice and a right. I think it's always a tragedy. And I think that it should be rare and safe. And I think we should be focusing on how to limit the number of abortions. I'm a bit of an odd man out in my party. I do not vote for funding for abortion.
He did not. He voted against the Hyde Amendment. I'm the odd man out of my party. That was 2006. He's changed now because to get into the White House with Democrat support, you got to favor abortion. So now he does. By the way, a writer, John, went to one of my Facebook pages and said, I know this off the subject of abortion, but I got to say, Democrats say follow the science. Well, then a man is a man, a woman is a woman scientifically. I agree, which is going to be very critical. How are you going to decide women's rights issues if you can't define a woman? Coming up, we're facing a chaos in our constitutional history.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Say you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we have this draft of Samuel Alito that's made headlines, become a true bombshell. And in the draft, he suggests that, yes, the court's going to overturn Roe v. Wade, but that's still just a draft. We don't know what the final decision is. Won't know until late June, July. Some are demanding it be issued earlier. John Daniel Davidson, we've had on several times before, senior editor with The Federalist. John, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You wrote a piece that really caught my attention, and you're saying that basically, regardless of what the actual decision is, the constitutional crisis that Roe v. Wade set in motion is now here. We're going to face a constitutional crisis regardless of the decision coming out of this court. Would you go ahead and explain?
That's right. And I think the reason that we're going to face that crisis is because by taking abortion out of politics back in 1973, by basically saying the American people cannot vote on it, we cannot debate it in the political sphere, we can't make laws about it that are different in different states, outlawing it in some places, making it legal in some places. It set up an expectation for the left that abortion would always be legal everywhere and that abortion would never be outlawed. And I don't think now that if the Supreme Court overturns Roe and states make abortion illegal, some states, there's 13 states with trigger laws that if Roe's overturned, abortion will automatically be made illegal in those states. I don't think that the left will accept that. I don't think that they will live and let live and let federalism run its course. I think they will provoke a kind of crisis and that they will take to the streets and burn cities down in defiance of the Supreme Court.
It will provoke
a crisis.
Right. I have the same fear. In fact, I do. I've been telling the audience since this story broke the other day that this is going to be another summer of rioting, but not over defund police or police shootings, but shouting out women's rights when the incoming justice nominee, who did not have, of course, a role in this decision and will not, Judge Ketanji Jackson, came to find what a woman is. I don't know how they're going to go forward on any abortion rulings from this point. But I also point out to the audience before you joined us that Alito quoted that Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself was not 100% in favor of Roe v. Wade, thinking it overstepped its bounds.
That's right. There's a whole parade of people on the left, not conservatives, not Republicans, going back 50 years, especially legal scholars, who have called out the problems with Roe, the constitutional problems, the legal problems. And I'm not a legal expert, so I have to take their word for it. But I think anyone who has any common sense can read Roe and understand the decision has nothing to do with the Constitution. And they were basically inventing rights in the Constitution that don't exist. And they were using the Constitution to justify an outcome that they wanted, that they had already decided they were going to reach in 1973 when Roe was decided.
And affirmed in Casey, later on.
That's right.
No, go ahead.
That's right, in Casey in 1992. But I don't think that, you know, the outcome of this is just going to be like, okay, well, California is going to make abortion on demand legal and Texas is going to make it totally illegal in every single case. And the states are just going to be very different moving forward. I don't think that is a realistic vision of the future facing the country if the Supreme Court overturns Roe. I think that abortion is a lot like slavery was in the 1850s. Abraham Lincoln said that we cannot continue divided, half slave and half free. We will become all one thing or all the other. And I think the same is true about abortion. But the reason I think it's the same is because of what the left will choose to do in reaction.
Well, now, if their side, though, they'd say, well, that's what we're saying. Yeah, we should all have a woman's right to her body. She should have a right to have an abortion without any restrictions, without any. That's what Ruth Bader Ginsburg said. They should have just held to the Texas law, Roe v. Wade, and waited on other cases to amplify the decision. And Senator Warren, Elizabeth Warren, going ballistic yesterday, saying the extremists are those who are calling to put an end to abortion by whatever means, or limit, or restrict it.
Yeah, the problem here, and part of the constitutional crisis, I think, that is emerging, is that if this decision, this majority opinion by Alito, if that's the ruling of the court, and Roe v. Wade and Casey versus Planned Parenthood are both overturned, I don't think that the left will accept it. Not just, you know, protesters in the street or Antifa or, you know, college students, you know, Black Lives Matter t-shirts. I think people like the President of the United States, Speaker of the House, Senator Elizabeth Warren, the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, these people who lead the political institutions at the height of government will not accept this decision. And I think it will provoke a constitutional crisis between the branches, in addition to provoking widespread rioting and violence in the streets.
So you're saying look for a flood, a tsunami of abortion cases immediately?
Well, I'm saying look for a constitutional showdown between the Supreme Court, the legislature, and the executive, as well as, you know, a flood of laws all across the states that will be passed for and against abortion rights, and that, all of that happening in the midst of civil unrest. I think we need to be prepared for what's coming.
I think you're right on point. And the other aspect that you just labeled there, we've got three branches of government: check, balance system, executive, Congress, judicial. And judicial does not make law, but they did with Roe v. Wade. That's the issue right there. And that was even the point that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was against, that they were kind of basically making law as opposed to interpreting and dealing with the Constitution.
That's right.
But the left and extremists don't care about that if it accomplishes the goal. Abortion does not appear anywhere in the Constitution. You have a Second Amendment right to, you know, have weapons. You have a First Amendment right to speak, but there's no amendment, nothing in there. So then the next step they're already talking about is codify it. Let's just make it a law right now.
Yeah, and that is something that the Democrat-controlled Congress may try to do. I think that they will probably destroy the Senate in order to do it. They may try to blow up the filibuster, which the problem with Democrats making a federal law is that as soon as Republicans gain control, they will repeal that law.
Sure.
And so you have this ping-ponging back and forth, and it's not really a viable solution. But in the process of doing it, they will damage their own institutions, maybe beyond repair. You may have the president defy the Supreme Court or threaten to pack it like FDR did back in the 1930s.
Right.
And a Democrat-controlled Congress may even try to do that in this case, which would be another aspect of this constitutional crisis.
Let me ask one other question, and asking on the basis of you serving as an editor of The Federalist. The question was raised to Joe Concha the other day, and I've had 40-plus years as news journalism before going into this side on being a commentator, news anchor, and so forth. The question was, should Politico had published the report? And he said, absolutely, anything else would have been malfeasance. If they were giving it to him, they should and had every right to do so. Your thought?
I think journalists need to always consider the story and the news value of the story and the material that they have. But they have to weigh that against the good of the country, because journalists are Americans, too. They don't just exist in a vacuum with no allegiances and no responsibilities. You know, so the journalists and editors at Politico are also Americans, and they owe America something.
So you think it's wrong?
I think anytime a journalist is faced with a situation like that, they need to consider what's best for America. I think what was best for America would be if this leaked opinion never got out, because it's damaged the Supreme Court and it's damaged our political institutions.
I will agree with that, but if that's going to end up being the decision, if you got a chance to jump on it, you're not going to take the advantage? You're not going to jump on the story in advance?
Well, if you're without principles or character, then no. Yeah, you would.
Well, let me ask you. I do, in the sense that, you know, I never would want to give out information that would let planes are coming or our troops in a certain area and they're viable. I do believe loose lips sink ships. But we have had, and we don't have a lot of time to go into this. I won't ask you to carry over, but I would like to have another discussion with you along this line. I think this is a very important discussion as to how and at what point. If it's going to cause immediate panic or immediate death and danger, then I do say I agree with you. Otherwise, you know, that's it becomes a political football. Go ahead, real quick,
Larry. The point of the leak was to intimidate the justices and to get them to change their vote. The justices and their families are in danger now because of this leak. That was the purpose of it, and the journalists at Politico knew it.
Yep, that point you're right on. I agree, John. As always, thank you. We'll do it again, sir.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you very much. Great discussion. Coming up, a Missouri execution. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottler Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business of pests, without any danger to your family or pets. Rottler, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate. 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or go to Rottler.com. Rottler Pest Solutions.
safe to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the state of Arizona is going to carry out its first execution in nearly 8 years next week. There was a 65-year-old convicted for a 1978 murder of a 21-year-old student at Arizona State University. Also had been charged with raping the girl. But he was arguing that he was mentally unfit to be executed. Well, now a judge has rejected that appeal, and so he is to be executed next week. That'll be the first execution in Arizona in 8 years. Justice will be carried out, I hope. Now, I know some are saying, oh, my God, how can you be for executions and against abortion? I'll come back to that point in a moment. Just hold that thought. I mentioned going into the break, Missouri has an execution coming up. I mean, had an execution. Happened yesterday. This is a Missourian who killed a couple during a robbery in 1996. His death sentence overturned three times. He finally got executed about 6:10 yesterday at the state prison, Bon Terre, Missouri. Fifth death row inmate in Missouri to be executed, or rather, to be executed in the U.S. this year. Fifth in the U.S. This couple that was killed lived in DeSoto, Missouri, rural area pretty much, and in their 60s. He stopped by their home apparently on the pretension that he was going to need directions, but he always intended to rob them. He knew they kept a safe in their home, so he got invited in. He held them at gunpoint, made them get the safe open, had them face down on their bed, stood there for about 10 minutes before shooting both twice in the head. Can you imagine the terror that couple was going through, face down the bed, maybe holding hands? I don't have that detailed here, but knowing the guy's behind you with a gun, you're waiting to see what is he going to do next, and then you hear the first shot, and maybe it's for you, or maybe it wasn't. It's your spouse. He did confess to the crime, but then the Supreme Court of Missouri overturned it because of errors by the lawyer. The U.S. Supreme Court overturned the second sentence, saying the sentencing jury was prejudiced because he was shackled when he was brought into the courtroom. Finally, justice was carried out in that case as well. I don't get any joy and satisfaction out of it. I witnessed an execution when they first resumed in the state of Missouri after the Supreme Court ruled that that was not an execution was not beyond the Constitution, that it was constitutional, and they resumed them in Missouri. I witnessed the first one they carried out. It was a biker who had, his biker friends had stolen, by that I mean a bike gang. I'm not talking about just folks who like to ride on Harleys and chopper, but this was a vicious gang. It took drugs and crime and everything else. So they kidnapped a bartender that he had an eye for, gave her to him as a birthday present. And he did what he wanted to with her, then probably the rest of the gang members before he killed her. God has mercy, maybe, for some man like that. I don't. And I won't. So we rely on God's mercy. In this case, the Missourian that was executed yesterday, was being quoted that at one point he said, I just ask everybody, my hope is that one day, it's a written statement, my hope is that one day the world will find peace, we'll all learn to be kind and loving to another. We're all part of this journey through life, connected in every way. Please give love, show love, be love. Nice sentiments. I think he probably meant them at that point. The difference between capital punishment and execution and an abortion is that an infant in the womb has committed no crime, is as innocent as you can be before God, our fellow man, at that point. this Missouri guy, 56 years of age, finally paying the price for what he did back in 1996. The Arizona man who's going to be executed next week unless things could be reversed again for him. They committed not just a crime, but the most serious, the most heinous, murdering another individual. There is no comparison between capital punishment and abortion. And when I hear abortionists cry out, oh my God, if we're not allowed to have an abortion, you're going to kill people. I really get incensed and ballistic to the extent that I have to fight to control it and say, do you not understand that with an abortion you are killing someone? You could stand there all day and argue about how important it is, but if your mother had made that decision, you would not be there to stand in front of me and make any argument. Case closed. Thank you for listening. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. 1 to 3 every day right here, listening either on this station. We're on a network of stations, but they only run us on this station during this period of time. So make sure everybody's listening. Or watch us on Rumble.com. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.